welcome to Railway Legends, Myths, and Stories. This is Kuma talking about trains. Well, what I want to talk today about is streetcars. What the heck is a streetcar? Well, let's roll our clock way back. How far back? Well, not that this is going to be first, but it's well documented, it's got a nice date, and it's cute. Let's go to the Middleton in the United Kingdom. The Middleton was a wooden Middleton railway, was a wagonway, okay? But important thing was it came about by an act of Parliament in 1758. So we're back at the middle of the 18th century. Now, this was a railroad, in a sense. It had wooden rails, and horses pulled the wagons, okay? It was later updated with iron edging so that the wheels would ride on the iron, but not the rail. The rail was still mostly wood. It was just a little bit of iron. But anyway, I wanted to point out, this was a railway using horse-drawn conveyances, way back to 1758. Now, I'm sure if I looked, I could get dates back another 100 years easily. The whole point is that horses have pulled wagons for so far back, I defy anybody to show me the first date that a horse pulled a wagon somewhere on wheels. What we're, of course, talking about is railroads. Well, the whole point was about the 17th and 18th century. It became very obvious from the little mine roads like the ones I've shown you pictures, and there's one again on my photo gallery of a wagon on these funny little curved wheels or notched wheels on a couple of wooden rails, which are more like logs. Anyway, you'd push this in a mine. So the idea of rails and having something roll on rails, that goes way back. And of course, as soon as you could figure out a way to have something other than people push it, people did. So, again, horses. Well, as we go, let's roll forward a little bit to the early part of the 19th century, around 1820, as more and more people were trying to build steam railways, in other words, locomotives, to pull cars on these wagonways that there were at different places and different kind of fixed guideways. I mean, some of them, the tracks were flanged, like one of my pictures shows. Some were like what we have today with flanged wheels. There were both. Any point was it came out very clearly that you could pull a great deal more weight with these rails. Well, this took off like crazy. Now, by that I mean, here, okay, I'll give you an example. We'll go to North America, and here is a streetcar line. It's purported to be the first. Opened in 1832, and it ran from downtown New York City to Harlem. And this was by the New York and Harlem Railroad. Now, what happened was these were, of course, wagons, but they were on railway-type wheels being pulled by a horse. By one horse or two horses, they did different ones. Now, the point was is that people had been using omnibuses, wagons, carriages, and still would for another century. I mean, well, if you want to, even today, there's still a handful of the horse-drawn carriages in Central Park and some of the other places around the country and around the world where you can ride behind a horse. Matter of fact, I've ridden behind a horse on rails at a historic park in San Jose. They had a horse, and it pulled this wagon with lots of people sitting in it, and it was a horse-drawn thing. So it's horses. Now, but the point was that a horse or horses could pull far more people, and the horses would last longer. In other words, they didn't have to work so hard, which is good, because then you didn't have to change the horses so often. You didn't have to have more horses. And this would allow you to make quite a bit more money. So putting those rails down the road, and the thing was to make them in city roads, even dirt ones, they had to be fairly, the ties or other material had to be sort of buried. This is before we were paving roads. Now, some of the roads did have paved in the form of bricks or rocks. Well, not rocks, but stones that were carefully fitted together in the same way to make a nice smooth road. But these flanges, these flange rails, or regular rails with flanged wheels, ran right down these streets. And this allowed people to run, like this line in New York. There was a line in New Orleans in 1834, another in Toronto in 1849, of different words of streetcar, omnibus, a bunch of different names. The point was, this allowed them to carry a lot more people without having to spend more money on more horses, more feed, more people to take care of them, the whole bit. Ah, great. Well, this worked great through the first part of the 19th century. I mean, it really worked great. Well, by the middle of the 19th century, there were a lot of steam trains running up and down all over the place. I mean, a lot of them. And steam engines were showing just how many people they could pull. Well, these little light railways on city streets really couldn't take the weight of a full steam engine. There were a number of very minuscule, or not minuscule, well, tiny, miniature, undersized steam locomotives that were tried, and some, with some success, used to pull a streetcar in place of a horse. Well, and I did mention this in one of my ones about the subways of New York, that there was a massive street railway system in New York. And a lot of fight because they wanted to keep making money with it without somebody else coming along with a better system and not cutting them in. Well, let's get a little more toward the later part of the 19th century. Not the end, by the long shot, the 1870s, the 1880s. A lot of experiments had been taken place using electricity. And I'm going to get into the whole bit about electricity in a little bit, but it was amazing was that these horse-drawn streetcars, you could, as I said, use up to even, many of them ran with a single horse. And so it obviously didn't need much horsepower. So some of the early electric streetcar systems were retrofitted to these existing horse-drawn cart. And let's give you some idea. I'm not going to give you dimensions and stuff that, but these were relatively small. And if you're trying to look for something, you can look it up online. But it's about the size of the cable cars in San Francisco, because that was a direct result of that. They had streetcars, horse-drawn streetcars in San Francisco, and they simply couldn't go up these hills. It was just too much, even for two horses or more. These hills were just too steep, and it was really a horrible thing to try to get the horses to pull them. And that's when they invented the cable cars. The cable would travel up a little slot in the middle of the road. The car would grab it with a thing called a grip, and up the hill it would go. Great. Well, except for this hill climbing part, the cables, these moving cables, well, they were a mechanical nightmare to maintain. Where you had to have them, there just wasn't anything better. There just wasn't. But only a few places made extensive use of cable to draw the cars. As I say, when we got toward the end of the 19th century, electricity showed its thing. And well, by the end, well, before the end of the 19th century, the late 1890s, how much? Well, according to one of my things that I looked up, it says there was on the order of 18,000 kilometers of track had been built in the United States alone. We don't want to talk about the rest of the world. I mean, European cities, Berlin, Paris, Madrid, London. Oh, London had scads of street railways. And many electric ones as well, because they were leaders in electric operation, because they had electrified systems before anybody else. I'll bring that up again. I'll come back to that some other time. That it wasn't, it was not in the United States. We the United States picked it up and ran with it. But the invention of electric traction is entirely European. They were big names there. Anyway, but the point I'm trying to make is there were electric street railways all over the place. I mean, even relatively smaller towns might have an electric street railway. If they'd had a horse-drawn one, as soon as electric power came around. Matter of fact, I'll get you back to this, and we'll talk about it when I talk to other subjects. But it was interesting is when they started making power companies, company whose job was to make electricity, a lot of them jumped into the street railway business because they had lots of electricity and not much to do. It just was much more economical to build a big electric plant than a little one, or try to make a little one bigger. It's very expensive, but it's much cheaper to build one that has capacity to spare so that you can add customers over the next 10 years and not have to rebuild anything. That makes you money. So they did it. Well, they said, oh, I got all this electricity. So they said, okay, great, we will build electric street railways. And, I mean, they were all over the place that were built this way. So the electric street railways became a major player. Now, the thing is, what happened to the streetcar? Well, there was a lot of misthought about the streetcars. Again, a lot of people in business, not scientific, I'll try to say it. Anybody who was an engineer would say, no, that doesn't work. And everybody else would come up with a whole bunch of other arguments. Running on rails and the low rolling resistance, I'll keep saying that over and over and over again until people say, come on, we got that, is that this made it use a lot less energy. One horse could pull a small streetcar. There were massive streetcars or even rail cars. I mean, there's one, I have a picture somewhere of one that's double deck and must have 45 or 60 people on this one rail car being pulled by two horses. Now, you remember your pictures of a must have watched a Western somewhere, and you'll see a stagecoach. A stagecoach could hold, an American Western stagecoach could hold 6 to 8 people, and that was fairly uncomfortable, and that was being pulled by 4 to 8 horses, and had to change horses all the time because they ran out of oomph. Well, when you are running on a slow and steady and flat line on these steel rails, wow, one horse could pull 30 people, maybe 40. Wow, that's money in the bank, cost less. So a lot of people forgot that this one fundamental thing. They said, oh, well, we'll put in buses. Well, buses worked. Okay, buses, I'm not saying buses didn't work, but they had a number of problems. One, electric cars have, and they did this with electric buses, watch out for me, but buses have to use a lot of energy to get moving. Streetcars can draw from a powerhouse. They don't have to carry that power plant with them. They have lower rolling resistance, so it takes, again, less to get them rolling along the track. So they have all these advantages, and people forgot it. They put in buses, and buses, of course, with their diesel engines and smell, and they take up more room in many cases. So it took a long time, and so in North America for the most part, by the 1960s, And certainly by the 19th century, there were just very few, if any, streetcar lines left running in America. And what happened? In the 1980s, late 70s, early 80s, they said, hey, I got an idea. Nobody's ever thought of this. We'll run railway tracks down the road and run these electric train things, and we'll call them light rail. It's never been thought of before. Oh, you mean it was thought of by my father? You mean my great-great-grandfather had the? Again, you have to reinvent the wheel. You've got to give it a new name. And presto, it's a new idea, but it isn't. So, well, there's a train going by. See how bad it, how much noise it makes on my, talks over me. It's not getting too bad. It's not too bad. Anyhow, I am just trying to emphasize that the streetcar came about in stages. I mean, really, quite specific stages. It was a direct result of the inventiveness of running anything on rails, including wooden, stone. Now, okay, I was just thinking about this. If you look at one of the early episodes of Railway Legends, Myths, and Stories on YouTube, or you go look at some pictures of Pompeii, you will see what they call rutways. These are little ruts in the road. So the wagons, their major purpose was, and these really were chipped there. I mean, they've actually determined they didn't just wear there. Somebody went with stone thing and chipped them. Was to get the wagons to go around certain curves and not cream into people's houses. Well, anyway, so we're talking about a wagon in a fixed guideway in the time of Rome, the Caesars. Okay, so again, we're not talking about new ideas. We're talking about refinements, ways to make them a little better. All right, now I'm going to try to describe this. I should do this with pictures, diagrams, because nobody is going to believe me. I mean, you're not going to believe me. I want to tell you about an early electric rail operation. I mean, that's electric propulsion operation, and how they did it. Okay. Now, the very first, I'll get some pictures, the very first electric locomotive ran on batteries. Look at that. Batteries. It's another new idea. No, they had them. Just a question of how good they were. So batteries, now that goes back to the 1830s, 1840s. We're talking batteries. All right, now I'm coming up to the early, late part of the 19th century here, late part. Anyway, this one of these early experiments with electric traction, this person thought, okay, we need to have two wires. You follow me. A lot of people think the one wire overhead. In most streetcars today and light rail system, they have a single overhead wire, and the return current goes through the rails. That's two wires. The rail is one, and the overhead wire is one. But they didn't think of that at first. They didn't think along those lines. Remember, it wasn't that long ago that people were using wooden rails, so you know that they don't think of the rail as being a conductor at the time. So they figured to have two wires over the streetcar. And somebody came up with this. Now, as I say, I'll describe this. You won't believe me. On each side of the track was a pole. A pole went up and had a crossbar going over. Okay? The crossbar went over the track. It didn't go all the way across. It only went partway across. So there was a gap. There was a board sticking over from the one side, one sticking over from the other side. And then on the top of that board was a insulator, a standoff type thing, and a wire. Okay? Now I want to make you understand, this was sticking up. The wire was the highest point on this construction. So there was a pole, crossbar, and above that was a wire. So think of the two wires as two rails. There's one here and one here, one right just next to each other. Oh, they weren't very far apart, you know, about as far apart as your shoulders, maybe a little further apart than that. You know, not you know, put your hands out in front of you, you know, a fish is about this big. It's about like that. It wasn't really wide. All right. Then, this is where it gets really funny. This is the trolley. Now, the word trolley had been around for years. You have a tea trolley. You know, you wheel in a little cart with wheels on it, and you had teapot and cups and things. Tea. Okay. So what they did was they made this little trolley, again, like that, with these wheels that were double flange, like the picture I showed of the old mine car, with the little flanges on both sides. And of course, now this is where it gets really hairy. Each of the two wheels were insulated from the other wheel, so it was not a solid steel or metal axle through the middle. There was wood, and there was a wheel on this side and a wheel on this side and a little thingy brush to pick up electricity from that wheel, and it sat on top of these two wires. There was one on the right, one on the left, and here's where it gets fun. There was this little trolley thing sat up there, had four wheels, you know, sort of square, and a pair of wires, you know, insulated wires, you know, wound around each other, came down from the trolley up there, and to the streetcar. And that's where it got its electricity. You electrified those two wires, and it may have had a couple of hundred volts on it, 300-400. I forget the exact number, but it was in the 300-400 range for the first one, and then they later upped it to 600 or higher voltages. But the first one was not all that high. Okay. And you would make the streetcar go, turn the thing on, and the streetcar go, and it would pull this little trolley along on these wires above your head. I mean, way above your head. You couldn't touch them. They were way up there. Okay. The problem was that when going around turns, stopping and starting, other problems, the little trolley would pop off the wires. Well, if it popped off the wires, they quit working. Now, many times it only popped off a little bit, and they would go out with long bamboo poles and sort of push it back up into place, and they would go off and again keep going because the bamboo wouldn't conduct electricity and you could get it back on. But it was a very poor system. It was a terribly poor system. And it did not last very long. But the word trolley came literally from this type of system. Well, the next idea, and a really good idea, was to put one of the wires as the rails, as they say. You put a little wire between where the rails hook to each other, or, you know, a little bond. They call it a bond. It's a little jumper of wire. And then you ground the whole thing, both rails, and you have current over from one overhead wire. So one overhead wire is one of the two wires, and the rails are the other, the return, also called the return or the ground. And the overhead wire might be 400, 500, 600 volts. And what you did was you put a pole. Now, this pole is insulated from everything else. This wasn't hard to do because these streetcars were mostly made of wood, and you had a little wooden platform on top. And then on top of that, you put this little thing you bolted down with an arm on it, a long pole with a spring that made it want to go up, you know, lift up. Not straight up. It's an arm that sticks out, and the springs were hooked to it in such a way as to make it want to go up 45 or 60 degrees or something like that. And then you had a rope tied way up the tip at the end, and you could pull it down and hook it. I've done that. Pulled it down, hook it in a hook, so it's not running. Well, you put it up under the wire. And again, this is where another word for trolley came from. The trolley was this little wheel, this little U-shaped wheel, you know, it's got a flange on both sides, so the rail, the wire would be in the middle, and you would lift it up, and it would connect. And now you had electricity, and you could go places. Well, again, one of a phrase that was common, dates back, I mean back to the 19th century, when somebody was not doing what they're supposed to be doing, or doing something sort of hayride, or not really getting anywhere, they would be called, "Are you off your trolley?" Because a streetcar couldn't go anywhere if the little trolley wheel was not making contact with a wire. You had no electricity. And of course, when it went through places where the wire was, you know, connected to another piece of wire, or it bounced a little bit, you get a little spark up there. But, you know, that was the trolley, not the vehicle moving. That's a streetcar. And it got sort of, the name morphed to anything that was running on electricity. It was a trolley. The trolley really was the little wheel at the top, because that's based on that original trolley, based on a little cart with wheels on it. So that's where that sort of thing comes from. Now, the funny part, little funny part is, trolley poles, that's why they were called trolley poles, which were also used on electric trolley buses. And I'll have a whole show, because somebody referred to electric trolley buses as transit stepchild. And I'll talk about those, because they're sort of related. They're sort of a relation, maybe a bad relation. You know, it's not one of the ones, oh, it's one of the people we don't want to talk. But it's relevant, so I'm going to talk about it. Not right now, but another day. Anyway, these trolley poles were used on all sorts of equipment. And one, which I hope to see again this fall, in Chicago, they had the North Shore Line, which had trains that would go all the way up the North Shores, north of Chicago, up along the lakefront there, all the cities. And it would come all the way downtown and actually go around, would come up and go in onto the L. So these trains could come all the way from up there and right downtown Chicago. And they ran with a trolley pole, a long pole and a piece of wire. And some of these could go at tremendous speeds. And I mean really tremendous speeds. One that was clocked at 150 kilometers an hour, which is an absolutely insane speed for a trolley pole. Most trolleys never got to a third of that speed. Never to a third. Many of them traveled at speeds not much more over the fast jog or, you know, a quick run, because they were just going down city streets, and the idea was to save you walking, not to go really fast. So, have to watch out for that. Anyhow, now I will come back and talk about in a future time about other forms of electric traction using other ways to get electricity to a street railway. One of which is similar to what they have in San Francisco in the fact that that's a moving cable. But in Washington, D.C., they had a part of the town. They said, no overhead wires. It doesn't look pretty. So what they did was they put a conduit, a little channel down the middle of the road. Heaven help me, with inside this little channel, which for a good size, was an insulated piece of material and then a rail. Okay, so this box was grounded, this little sort of a C-shaped channeled box with a slot in the top, and down through that slot went a shoe, which picked up electricity off of a hidden rail down inside the road so that it could pick up electricity. Sort of a third rail system, something like a Lionel train set, you know, with the third rail in the middle. So that was another way to get electricity. Now, there's a lot more than that. And if you like listening to Kuma go on and on about trains, trolleys, streetcars, and stuff like that, well, this is the place to come and listen. Well, thank you very much, and I hope to see you all on the train some other day. Bye-bye.